I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Tuesday Takes on Takes edition of the show. And evidently, y'all want to talk about bad quarterbacks. And so that's what we're going to do a lot of this show today. So Kyle, welcome. Hope you're ready.
I guess we're just going to switch over to the AAF dudes. And that's a segue we're going to make as a group, I guess. This is a lot of AAF takes.
Yeah.
And a lot of college prospects for this year's NFL draft that we're not even projecting anymore to the NFL. It's like, oh, lock him in, AAF. This dude's got the look of an AAF quarterback.
I guess that makes sense. There's only like three like reasonable quarterbacks so far in the AAF. It's John Wolford, Garrett Gilbert, and Luis Perez, right, from the Iron. So,
well, listen, John Wolford is a blend of Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and Baker Mayfield. So,
No question. Yeah, I mean, said by a man who's coached against Baker Mayfield in the NFL. But here we are.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I like John Wolford. I thought he was a lot of fun at Wake Forest, but that's not where I was going to end that. You know?
We're not going to be, But we had a good run. I didn't have to drink for comparisons for quite a while. That one pushed me over.
That video was sensational. That was some of your best work. I was concerned how quick that went down. Handled it like a champ, man. It was.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
All right, you want the first one?
Give or receive? It's like Christmas, right? It's like, do you want the guy to get your present first, or do you want to unbox your first present?
So I'll give you, go ahead. What do you want?
Okay. I'm going to give you the first present.
Okay.
Okay. And this comes from Andy Piccone at the Joe Marino. Greedy Williams has the highest bust potential in the 2019 NFL draft. Hashtag takes on takes.
I like it. I like this a lot. Greedy is tantalizing when you watch him on film. Like, there's so many good things about him, but which, you know, I kind of put in my scouting report, when I watch Greedy Williams tape, I don't come away remembering all the great times that he flipped his hips and ran and remained in phase or made a play at the catch point or any of those things. What I think about is not finishing reps and just situations where he just stops covering and he allows that late separation. And completions are made, and obviously the tackling where he just does not want to get a grass stain on his jersey. So just very disappointing tackling attempts. He just wants to be a spectator. So, yeah, when you think about those things, those are the kind of stuff that makes you nervous and say, hey, this is a big bust. And the guy that, you know, it seems like he's falling a little bit. Even Daniel Jeremiah had him ranked at like 32 in his latest big board last week. So I do think there's some fall here considering where everybody thought he was going into the year. But I do agree that Greedy is definitely the highest bust potential in this class. Okay, Kyle, we have so many AAF quarterback takes, so we need to
spread them out.
We do. So I think we'll go ahead and get one out of the way here.
All right, let's do it.
This one has you all over. This comes from Ricky S. He says, can't wait for 2020 AAF League MVP, Trace McSorley.
Yeah, I'm buying this one because I don't think Trace gets like a shot to stick. A lot of times, like, you've got bad quarterbacks that, you know, maybe bounce around for a little bit in the NFL and then they drop out. Trace doesn't have those. So I think if Trace wants to play, his best pursuit is either the XFL, which will be open in 2020, or the AAF. And a guy like Trace, he's a gamer, right? So I think you're going to get him in a game situation and he'll perform to a certain level. And he's fearless, so he's going to sling it. So you're either going to get John Wolford or you're going to get Christian Hackenberg out of him. The question is,
do not disrespect John Wolford like that, Kyle.
I said John Wolford's the high end of the sliding scale and Christian Hackenberg's the low end of the sliding scale.
Oh, jeez.
You know, it's like he's going to let it rip. You know he's going to let it rip. It's just a question of, does that yield four touchdowns or does that yield two interceptions and 3 of 11 passing through the third quarter, like Hackenberg. But yeah, I could see him getting and catching fire in a league like that because he's a gamer, Joe. Going to use the stereotypical buzzword. Jeff, compensatory picks shouldn't even be a thing. Hashtag takes on takes.
Oh, man, this was an interesting one. So the purpose behind compensatory picks is to reward or give something back to teams that lose free agents in free agency and they have like a net loss, right? So even if you lose a big name player, but you bring one in, it kind of cancels each other out. And so do I think there's like, I like them. And I think it comes from being a small market guy, Bills fan, and knowing that the Bills always kind of have to do more to get players to come to them from free agency. But a lot of times they don't have necessarily a hard time convincing their own to stay. But if you do see more teams that just want to bolt and, you know, there's a lot of control with the tags and stuff like that, I do like the idea of giving them something. And I don't have any, I guess my biggest thing is I don't have any compelling reason to say these need to go away other than I kind of like what they do. But I also don't like the idea of maybe a team thinking, well, we can think about that formula in our decision-making and we can let him go for, and keeping in mind, we could get a 3 or a 4 back. I don't know. It's funky, but I don't have a compelling reason to make it go away. You have any thoughts on that, Kyle?
No, I think it's all part of the perceived balance and parity of the league, right? So if you get into the wild, wild west and you know, players need to be able to have some control of where they play once their contract's up, and that ultimately comes down to incentivizing the teams to be willing to let them walk away, knowing that you can, if you so choose, let him walk and get a compensatory pick for him. So I do think it's a good idea. And I have no idea where you would even begin to change the structure if you wanted to try and make it better. Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's a good idea, and I think it does help promote some fluidity for the players that, you know, have their contracts up.
All right, here's one I think you're going to like. It comes from – I don't have their name. I'm sorry. No, it comes from Ross Will Wording, at Ross underscore Will. He says, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is a top 30 prospect / top 5 defensive back with the right defensive coordinator scheme and his versatility. He will be Honey Badger 2.0.
Yes. Ooh. I like it because I watched Chauncey's tape. And oh my goodness, this dude is a blast. He's really, really explosive. He could play some man-to-man. He's got click and close ability and off-man coverage if he's playing in the nickel. He is a beast as a blitzer coming off the edge. He's super violent. He's got one of the hottest motors of any player at any position that I've seen in this year's class. And I think he's got enough range and mobility that he can really help make an impact on the back end as well. So with all of that said, think about what Honey Badger is, right? He's mm-hmm. a guy that, you know, played man-to-man in the nickel and buzzed down in the box and played zone cut. Like, all those things, Chauncey does all those things too, and I think he's a much more explosive athlete than Honey Badger was. So, and I know Honey Badger didn't have a great year this year in Houston, but Chauncey's really, really something, and I do agree with the assessment that he's A, a top 5 DB prospect, and B, a top 30 overall prospect.
There you go.
Take from Michael, Joe. Mike really wanted us to touch on Pitt fullback George Aston. He's asked us 3 straight weeks. So I've been told. George Aston will revolutionize the fullback position if given the opportunity. Parentheses. I want to see him in an offense with Baker Mayfield. Hashtag takes on takes.
So I need to know a lot more about George Aston to speak to him specifically. I mean, there's some teams that I think you do see they like their fullbacks. I mean, with Hughes Check having a pretty decent deal, the Bills wanted Patrick DeMarco, even though he plays like very limited reps on offense. But I think the way the league is trending, I don't think there's going to be much value there. A lot of times you see if teams want to do something with a traditional fullback, it'll be a defensive lineman or a linebacker or a tight end or a 6th offensive lineman. So I need to take a look at George. You've piqued my interest here. I know that he played for Pitt, and that rushing offense was very dynamic. So I'd like to see more of him. But based on what I know at this current point in my life, I don't know that I agree with this, and I just need to learn more. But I do have some doubts just based on the way the league is using its personnel differently. All right, Kyle, this one comes from Adam Huddle. He says the AAF will be the real life replacements when the NFL players strike in the 2021 season.
I mean, yeah, we're going to, this is, it'll be interesting to see if it does come to that, because what do you gauge the chances of a strike are in 2021, Joe?
They say very high, and it confuses the hell out of me. I don't know why we wouldn't be doing everything to make sure it doesn't happen, but.
Oh, it's because the players want more leverage. The players, you know, it's kind of skewed as far as player control and the business side of this, the CBA, players have a lot of gripes with. But owners aren't going to want to give that up. The people who have the leverage and have the control aren't going to just sign up to give it away. Right?
Yeah, it's going to be a struggle, man.
So I don't know how they come to a compromise and resolution without potentially losing football games. But hey, if we lose football games, you've got college football, you've got the AAF, you've got the XFL that are going to be off the ground. It's just getting these supplementary leagues to stick, right? Like, this is not a new idea to create a different football league. But it seems like the infrastructure and the people that have built these leagues have a little bit more clout, I guess, in the football industry. And I think that may result in some better results. Like Bill Polian had his hand in the AAF, and Oliver Luck is the commissioner of the XFL. Like, those are well-respected, accomplished people in the football world. And I am certainly hoping for, I don't know if either one of those will change their game calendar, because they've said at this point, we're not trying to compete directly with the NFL, which is smart because you can't. But it'll be interesting to see how, if and when the strike materializes in a few years, if either one of those leagues looks to shift their calendar to fill that void, to see what it does for them.
Well, and maybe these leagues can also put that pressure on the NFL to get something done, knowing that it's right. not the time. It's not that it's just not the time to lose any momentum, and not be available for your customers. So I hope that that has a good effect on that possibility.
Okay, this one comes from at Grinding the Tape.
Oh, geez, I always love when these make their way in.
Okay, here's the take. The AAF will go down as the best thing Bill Polian's ever done. Change my mind.
No. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is the worst take yet. Now, I will say this. He got lucky and drafted Jim Kelly and Peyton Manning, and so he's had this.
That doesn't take talent to just have the first pick and take quarterbacks that are good?
He didn't do that with Jim Kelly. He did that with Peyton Manning. And look, there was a lot of good draft picks that he had with the Bills. I mean, Hall of Famers. So, I mean, come on now. He built the team that went to the Super Bowl four times in a row. As much as I think he got lucky a bit, there's a lot to be said for his resume as a general manager.
Haven't changed my mind yet.
You're crazy. How many Hall of Famers has he drafted? This is not even close. Man. He's not even the full mastermind behind the AAF, man. That was wild. All right, we need to get
mission accomplished. I was hoping to trigger you.
All right, well, let's trigger you now. Jonathan Tornberg says Will Greer will be the best NFL quarterback from the 2019 class.
That's fake news. Not really sure where Will. This is something I've talked about a little bit. What kind of system you can feel best about putting Will into at the NFL level. He's got some nice, fun reps on his film. But the consistency, the work under pressure, those are areas that are really concerning to me. Let's see. We got more AAF takes, don't we? We got any more?
Oh, yeah.
Do we? Oh, I was only on one page. I was didn't realize we had a whole other page.
Keep going, brother.
Woo, we got a boogie. Okay.
Yep.
Dub G, Tyree Jackson, QB1 in the AAF.
Man,
hashtag
I saw
takes on takes. Hashtag takes on takes, and they added Tampa Bay Trey and Ledyard NFL draft.
It's wild.
Bold move.
Bold move. Okay. So I wish I could take credit for this phrase because I it's amazing. And I saw somebody else say it. I don't remember who it is. I need to give them credit. They said, Tyree Jackson is 2 years away from being 2 years away. And I like that a lot. And it really stuck to me because I did a radio spot, and I'm not going to tell you where. I did a radio spot in the last week. Tell you later. The entire mission of that host was to convince me that Tyree Jackson was a first-round pick. It was the most bizarre thing. Like, he was very angry that I didn't agree with him. And then he even followed up with some text messages, and I ghosted him because I'm like, this is totally ridiculous. I've never been in this situation before. So, like, my Tyree Jackson appetite for, like, people being high on him is not good.
Isn't that weird, though? Because, like, you're brought on a spot for your expertise.
Dude, it was unbelievable. I'm like, I try to be respectful, but I was legit annoyed by the end. He even went as far as to say, you wanted me to talk more about this and it's going to work. He even went as far as to say, like, he said, the last time I felt this good about a quarterback was Phillip Rivers, and people thought I was crazy. And his tools are just too good for the NFL to overlook. I'm like, well, dude, they overlooked Cardale Jones and Logan Thomas, and he's probably not even as good as a quarterback prospect as them. Like,
oh, he's better than Logan Thomas, but
not that convincingly, right? Anyways, Tyree Jackson, QB1 in the AAF. I don't know. Like, I don't know that my concerns with him go away because he's playing in the AAF. I think he's got too many mechanical issues that stem from his size that's going to make him highly erratic on top of his mental processing growth that needs to happen. So, like,
oh, so you're out on this kid altogether.
I'm not. Okay, look.
I mean, you just said he's not QB1 for the AAF.
I'm saying he's no Luis Perez and John Wolford and Garrett Gilbert, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I'm not super high on Tyree Jackson.
Jackson's one of those kids for me, like we talked about, some guys bounce around a few years because they got traits.
Yes.
Like, that's Tyree. Like, he'll stick in the NFL for 3 years just because of his arm and size and athleticism for his size.
All right, Kyle, this one comes from Josh Avery. He says, Drew Locke ends up being the first quarterback drafted. Let's assume there's a trade-up due to nailing the interviews, performing well at the Senior Bowl, showing off his arm during workouts.
If you're factoring in a trade-up, Denver looking at maybe Tampa Bay or the Jets or the Raiders, then yeah, I can buy this take. Do I think it'll happen? I don't know. I could also see Jacksonville going Drew Locke. So I think there's a modest chance of this. I'm not going to say I'm absolutely all in. We're like way too far out. Ask me again in 2 months. Bionic Raider, good friend of the show. Lots of good takes from him. The New England Patriots select Mitch Hyatt in the 7th round, and Coach Starnecka turns him into a quality starting offensive guard. Hashtag takes on takes.
Man, I don't think Dante Scarnecchia, or however you say it, Scarnecchia, is going to fix Mitch Hyatt, man. There's too many technical issues, too much lacking in terms of his traits. And it's bizarre because his resume is like the greatest resume an offensive lineman can ever have going into the NFL, like a 5-star recruit, 4-year starter, like every game at left tackle. He's like a 2-time offensive lineman of the year for the ACC, like a 4-time All-American, like every resume you'd want. Just watch him play and just tell me about how he's going to block average NFL offensive lineman. It's not going to happen. I'm out. I don't think that even the great Coach Scarnecchia can fix Mitch Hyatt. All right, Kyle, this one comes from Trey Johnson. Jordan Tiamu is this year's Dak Prescott. Not an elite prospect, but could find early success in the right situation. Good athlete, could find success in a run-heavy RPO-style offense.
Well, I think you've outlined his pathway for success. But with that said, I got more questions with Tiamu between the ears than what I did with Dak. So I can't really forecast early success for him, kind of watching what he did at Ole Miss this past season. Likeable traits. He's got a live arm. He could throw nice bucket balls down the field. He moves really well. He can move within the pocket and extend plays. But I think that, as you said, that RPO style offense is going to be key, but I don't think you're going to be able to structure enough around him in the NFL for him to have success early on. Walker Kelly, turtle dude.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Giles Harris is better than Devin Bush and Mack Wilson and possibly Devin White. No takes on takes, but it's a take in the list.
Yeah, no, him and I had an exchange. We're recording this on Monday morning, and him and I put out a tweet about who everyone's LB4 is, assuming the top three is some combination of White, Bush, and Wilson. And he responded with this, and I responded with hashtag takes on takes, and he said, put it in the pod. It's like, okay, yes. So I've watched a good bit of Joe Giles Harris at Duke over the last couple seasons, and I like him. I don't know that I see the same type of range and ability to work through contact that puts him in the same tier as those top three. So I don't hate him as potentially LB4 behind these guys. I need to do a lot more work on the class to feel comfortable with that, but I don't think he belongs in this tier. All right. Guessing you agree, but maybe not.
No, I agree. I think he's right now he's LB4 for me, but I've done like 10 linebackers, so.
Okay. Okay. Andrew Lindberg, Kyle. He says Jake Browning will win AAF MVP next season.
Okay. No, we're going to roll these AAFs into one. Okay. Because App State Bacon's got Jared Stidham is closer to being AAF MVP than the preferred starter in the NFL.
I wanted that one.
Okay. Well, then you can chime in when I'm done because we're trying to get all these takes in. People came in full force. Did you count how many we have today?
There's a lot, and there's a few that I left.
We hit like 20 today. So, yeah. Hot take, no 2019 quarterback prospect is going to win the MVP of the AAF next year.
Jake Brown even going to get a chance to play in the AAF? Like, there's got to be some requisite level of arm talent.
Can I make a comment here, and I'm probably going to regret this.
Oh, boy.
I was on Twitter yesterday in the morning. And Coach Peterson put out a tweet. And all it said was all capital letters, woof, with an exclamation point. And it took every ounce of my being not to quote tweet that tweet from Coach Peterson and simply say, are you watching Browning tape? Question mark.
You did in the DMs, though.
I did in the DMs, but I didn't do it publicly. And it took every ounce of my being. I think Jake's closer to an insurance salesman than he is playing AAF football next year. Go ahead.
Give me your
Jared Stidham takes, too.
Yeah, so he goes, Jared Stidham is closer to being an AAF MVP than he is a preferred starter in the NFL. Yeah, that's probably – hello, Sophie. Good morning. I agree that that is probably true, that he is closer to being a great AAF quarterback than a preferred starter in the NFL. But I think this goes back to the point you made earlier when you're talking about Trace. I think Jarrett has enough to stick around in the NFL for three or four seasons before he does take over as an AAF NFL MVP. But I think it'll be some time there where he'll get a chance to stick in the league.
Okay. All right. I have the dog secured, so no more interruptions on the
podcast. I think that's her first one. That's surprising. You want this Christian Miller one? Let's give it to you.
I've been waiting for you to give me this Adam Huddle one for forever since he's trying to trigger me.
Oh,
keep passing it over. It's got my freaking name on it.
All right, let's do it. Adam Huddle. Since the last take didn't trigger at grinding the tape, let's try this again. Drew Lock is the same folding chair under pressure in the pocket as Jared Goff, so he should be drafted as such and be taken number one overall.
You know, if you didn't give it to me here, I was going to give you the other one, or I was going to give you this one and force you to give my take for me. What do you think my answer is here?
No, I just give it to us. We want
get the hell out of here, Adam. Come on, man. No disrespect for Jared Goff. The recency bias is real. I'm not having it. Jared Goff, he's the popular dead pony that everyone goes out and slaps around with a baseball bat in the backyard right now. Beat that dead horse. Listen, Locke's not good under pressure. Jared Goff isn't great under pressure. It's never going to be an area that he hangs his hat on. But last I remember, he made two really great throws in the NFC Championship game with the Rams losing to the Saints at the time to defeat pressure and extend drives on third down. That's all I'm going to say. Mission accomplished, Adam. You got me triggered. Okay, Ryan Thomas, following the likes of Zach Martin and Brandon Scherff, Jonah Williams is the next great college offensive tackle to kick inside the guard where he'll be a Pro Bowler for years to come. Hashtag takes on takes.
I like the part where it says he'll be Pro Bowler for years to come because I do think he has that type of upside. I'm not super quick to pin him inside the guard. I like that he can play right end left tackle. He's done that at Alabama. So I think we've kind of said this before. I want to give Jonah a chance to fail at guard and know that I have a really good fail safe. Fail at tackle.
Yeah.
And I have a really good fail safe at guard. But I do think he has a lot of upside to be a really quality NFL offensive lineman that challenges for Pro Bowls for years to come. Last one, Kyle Draft Season says Christian Miller is a better pass rusher than Josh Allen.
Listen, Christian Miller's really good. I don't think he's a better pass rush than Josh Allen. Because I think Josh, if you would have asked me this versus 2017 Josh Allen, the answer is yes. But I think Josh Allen, took enough steps forward this year for me to feel as though he's an ascending player. And he does, with his speed, size, and length, offer enough that he really can put a lot of offensive tackles in a bind as is. So I'm selling the take, but it's closer than you might think. Any chirp there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Miller has the same athletic upside, so that certainly matters. He might be more technical. He's more technically refined, probably, as a pass rusher. Yeah.
So is he a better pass rusher than Josh?
No, because the ceiling's not even close to the ceiling.
Okay. But right now.
No,
because I feel like you want to kind of say yes, but you keep beating around it by talking about upside and stuff.
No, if I needed to get a pass rushing package on the field right now and I needed a sack, I'm putting Josh Allen in there over Christian Miller every time.
There's the answer I was looking for. Thank you. Right. Didn't know if you were going to be really nice about it, like that fullback take.
You're lucky you didn't get the fullback take.
Listen, fullback's a dying position. So I guess the way to revolutionize that would be to bring it back from the dead. Right. Make sure you bring the Draft Dudes podcast back from the dead and subscribe to the podcast so you can listen again tomorrow since this show is wrapping up. I am at Grinding the Tape. Joe is at the Joe Marino. Make sure you give us your hot takes for next week's hashtag takes on takes show, which we put the power into the hands and the fingers of the people, thanks to the Twitter.com. Make sure you swing over to draftnetwork.com. Check out all of our great content. Trevor put out his mock draft 6.0. I've never seen a mock draft with more trades in my life. So kudos to Trevor for, I guess, playing musical chairs with almost the entire first round. And I was like, holy cow, man. Like, my head was spinning. But it's a really entertaining read. So check in and come back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, guys.